Tonight I want to share a message which will conclude the Babylon versus Christ, but the main part of the message tonight will be a kind of review of the four levels of spiritual warfare. And God is speaking to me more and more. He's speaking to me today about this. But I want to first finish the seven things that we have been looking at in regard to the who Christ is and the kingdom of Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom that Jesus is the king of. And then we have been looking at Babylon, and Satan is the kingdom of this world, and Babylon is the name for the kingdom of this world, and Satan is the ruler of that, and how they come against Christ, first as creator, then as the substance, then Jesus as salvation, then Jesus as Lord, high priest, and mediator, then Jesus as the Word, then Jesus last time as the truth, and then the last one in this series on Babylon versus Christ is Jesus as the king versus the Antichrist as the coming king. God as the king, Jesus his son, man as king is another way to put it. Man wants to be king, and that's what the enemy wants. And so the Antichrist spirit, in this aspect, tries to make us believe that political rulers let's say an international government will be the key to the authority and power which will come and bring peace on the world. But no, that's a lie. The Antichrist is going to come to try to act as if he's going to bring peace. He will actually bring destruction and death. Right. Jesus is the king, the only true king.
Hallelujah.
So let me read a couple of examples here. Revelation 13 and verse 3 is some verses that have to do with the king, the Antichrist, who will come as a king on the earth. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain. A fatal wound was healed. It'll appear that he comes back to life. This will be some kind of reincarnation. By the way, through all history, miracles have occurred in regard to reincarnation. Not resurrection. This is not resurrection life. But apparently, someone who has lived before is going to come back to life as the Antichrist. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon. Now, Satan is the dragon. A direct relationship here between Satan and the Antichrist. I mean, there's almost a one-to-one relationship here between Satan and the Antichrist. He'll be directly, the Antichrist will be directly of Satan because he gave his authority to beast. In other words, Satan gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast. They worshiped this Antichrist. Who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? And there was given to him a mouth to speak arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months. Now, God is allowing the Antichrist. Authority is delegated power. All authority was given by God the Father to Jesus the Son. That's why we as his body have authority, because he is our head and we have that authority that we can exercise from the heavenly kingdom. But here it indicates in verse 5 that that authority is given for a time, or at least a type of authority, not God's authority itself, for 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Now notice the tabernacle of God. Those who dwell in heaven. The tabernacle of God is the people of God who dwell in God, and God dwells in them. See, buildings were never meant to be the tabernacle. That's why the tabernacle of David is not a building. And the tabernacle of David is going to be restored. It's not a building. It's where God inhabits. And God inhabits the praises of his people, and he inhabits his people, and his life is in them. But they are blaspheming. I mean, they are blaspheming God and his people. This is the ultimate blasphemy. They are blaspheming God himself. His people in heaven, the heavenly kingdom, they are blaspheming. Then, turn with me. Well, no, let me read two other verses. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. In other words, the Antichrist and the Satan, but the Antichrist particularly, will make war on the saints of God, to overcome them. In other words, there will be a temporary overcoming. It will look as if this false kingdom is going to be established. And for 3.5 years, it apparently will be. It apparently will be. Not really, but apparently. It will appear so. And authority over every tribe, people, and tongue, and nation was given to him. Authority over everyone on the earth. For 3.5 years. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written on the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. He repeats this a lot. If anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says. We've got to hear what the Spirit says. We've got to let the Spirit come, make the Word of God alive so that it comes into our hearts so that we know. And tonight, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to make alive, because I'm going to be getting into things that no one can know. And I don't know fully. I only know what the Holy Spirit has revealed about this. And I know that the Holy Spirit has not revealed everything. But the Holy Spirit has revealed much more now than I knew a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. That's one advantage of getting older. You keep getting more revelation. And God just adds revelation upon revelation if you keep pushing on, pushing on, pushing on, pushing on. Never draw back. Never draw back. Keep pushing on. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. Of course, none of you are approaching my age, but it doesn't make any difference. I mean, my spirit is as young as your spirit. My body isn't, but my spirit is as young as your spirit. My spirit doesn't get old. Hallelujah. Now, Revelation 17, verse 9. Here's a mind that has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sits. Now, we're going to be talking about the woman here a little bit later. It's the harlot. It's the harlot church, which is the false religious system of this Babylonian system. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. And we've talked about that. The five, and then the one, the Roman Empire, and then the one that is to come, the Antichrist kingdom. When he comes, he will remain a little while. And the beast, which was and is not, is himself also an eighth. In other words, he's a part of this, but then he becomes separate. He's one of the seven, and then he becomes a separate to rule himself. And the ten horns, which you saw, are ten kings, which have not received yet a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. Right. For 1 hour is an expression. It means in eternal terms, they only rule an hour. Right. Now, in year terms, it's going to be more than that. But I mean, in eternal terms, you know, it's a very short period of time. Whatever is happening to you from the enemy is a very short period of time. Anything short of eternity is short. Remember that. Anything short of eternity is short. Now, when you're my age, you realize how fast the years go. Boom, 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 boom. And you say, how can this be? How can I be this age? And upon her forehead, a name is written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Now, Jesus had as a bride, the true church. Satan has a bride, the false church, the Babylonian system. The Babylonian system. In the spirit realm, Satan is married to the false church, the Babylonian system. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus, and when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And so, there is a sense in which there is going to be great persecution. And then, down to verse 13, they have one purpose, They give their power and authority to the beast. They give their power and authority to the beast, to the Antichrist. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called the chosen and faithful. So, the Antichrist kingdom, he claims to be a king. He's coming. There'll be a 3.5-year period when they dominate and control every tribe, tongue, nation, and people. But then Jesus comes, who is the true King of kings, and he defeats Satan.
Yeah.
In fact, let me read. I don't think I'll read Psalms 2 again. I have it down to read, but Psalms 2, remember, we looked at that before. That's where Jesus is crowned the king before he ever came on the earth. He's crowned the king. He's crowned the Lord. He's crowned the mediator. He's crowned as the high priest. He's the priest after the order of Melchizedek. But by the oath of God, by an eternal oath of God, he is crowned king of the universe. And he will reign and he will rule. And he is given a rod of authority. A rod of authority. See, Satan has a type of authority. But God gave Jesus a rod of authority, eternal authority. Eternal authority over all the hosts. All the angelic hosts, all the hosts that fell, the demonic hosts. Satan who fell. They were all created before they fell. And Jesus has the rod of authority over them all, and he will be their king. And then in Revelation 19, it speaks of that in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and who is set upon it is called faithful and true, and the righteousness he judges and wages war, and his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon him, which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God, the sword, the part of the armor, that's the offensive part of the armor, is the Word of God. That is Jesus himself, the Word. And by the way, Satan cannot stand against Jesus, and therefore he can't stand against the Word that's in you, that's made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when God puts that Word in you, and you know that you know that you know it's true, no matter what the enemy attempts to do, there will only be a temporary period of time where that authority temporarily is exercised by Satan, and then the greatest authority that Satan will ever exercise on the earth is only that 3.5-year period when temporarily we will all, if we're on the earth at the time, whoever's on the earth at the time will come under that authority, but we will not give, if we know Jesus, if our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we will not accept the mark of the beast, we will not accept the number of the name, and by the way, we won't be able to buy or sell. And so we'll have to live totally by faith if we're on the earth at that time. But you must not accept the number or the name. So that what we have here is then Christ is a king who ultimately takes authority, and so praise God. By the way, when Jesus says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely receive, freely give, when we do those things, we are bringing Christ's kingdom down on the earth right now, at this moment. Someone gets saved. Kingdom of God has come. Someone gets healed. The kingdom of God has come. Someone gets delivered. The kingdom of God has come. So that ultimately, and by the way, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, that will occur right here in the end times when all of these things are coming against us, even during this period of time when Satan has been given authority over all the nations and all tribes and tongues and people. If we're on the earth at that time, we will still be ministering in the kingdom power and gospel of God. And people will still be saved and healed and delivered, even if it costs our lives. So, the rest of Revelation we won't look at. Babylon falls. There is the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is the Satan bound the first time, a 1,000-year reign of Christ, he's loosed. Then the final battle. And then he's bound finally, eternally, forever. And then the new heaven and the new earth. Now, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, because we've outlined now over the weeks, we've outlined Babylon versus Christ, but I want to begin a new topic tonight, The four levels of spiritual warfare. The four levels of spiritual warfare. Because until Jesus comes, we are at war. Now, I've spoken of this before, but Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. And it's the sword of the Word that He came to bring. And so, God wants us to look at the book of Ephesians. So, let me turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And I tell you what I want to do mainly tonight. I may get to teaching on one level of the four, but what I want to do is outline, as God has shown me, what are these four levels? How can we understand them so that we can better be equipped to take authority? Because either individually or collectively, we have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing indeed shall injure us, be it cosmic level, be it occult level, be it ground level, be it personal level. Now, those are the four levels I'm going to define. The cosmic level, the occult level, the ground level, and the personal level. Now, these names, you could give them different names. I take these names from a friend who I met 2 years ago, Mose Bandugi, a Nigerian evangelist. I was in a conference on spiritual warfare and was one of the speakers, and Mose Bandugi was there speaking. He has traveled the world, a Nigerian anointed by the power of God. I have never heard anyone teach more profoundly in regard to spiritual warfare. And so I take the names that he gives. You could give these levels different names. But I want to show you how they are outlined in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Because you need to have some understanding, some basic understanding of these four levels of warfare. Now, Satan is the ruler of this cosmos. That's the Babylonian system, or this world, and it's a well-ordered system. And he has his ranks, right from five-star generals right on down to privates. I mean, this is an our organized army. We don't need to fear it, but if you are not in God's army, you better fear it. Let me say that again. If you are not in God's army, anointed by God, anointed by the Holy Spirit, you're going to be a tool in the hands of a well-organized enemy. I mean a tool. And there are Christians, or at least people who call themselves Christians, who are nothing but tools of Satan, manipulated by the enemy constantly. Now, let's go. Let's start to read. In Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. You are weak. I am weak. We are weaklings. But in Christ, we are lifted up above every principality. We are lifted up above Satan himself. Hallelujah. Because Jesus died, Jesus conquered Satan, He conquered His kingdom, He conquered every demon force of hell, whether cosmic level, occult level, ground level, personal level, doesn't make any difference, five-star generals, privates, doesn't make any difference. We have authority if we are in Christ. And we trample ahead of Satan, and we trample ahead of all. Now, I must say this. I'll cover this more as I go along in this whole series. We have to be careful about trying to take authority as individuals over cosmic or occult level powers. Because cosmic and occult level powers are more than an individual Christian can take on. And as close as Daniel was, I'll come to Daniel at the end of teaching tonight, as close as Daniel was to the Lord, he had to have some angelic help. And we need to be unified, especially when we're dealing with those higher levels. put on the full armor of God. I don't know what you do, but every morning I put on the, I literally put on, spiritually, I put on the full armor of God. I've done that for years now. I mean, I gird my loins with truth. the breastplate of righteousness. I shod my feet with the gospel of peace. I put on the shield of faith. The helmet of salvation around my mind. The sword of the Lord. And I pray in the Spirit. A lot of people forget. That's how that ends. Praying in the Spirit. If you don't pray in the Spirit, you need to pray in the Spirit. You need to let God bring you into praying in the Spirit. Most of you, I think, do that are here tonight. But if you don't, you need to learn to pray in the Spirit, because you can't war correctly unless you do. Now, why? That you may be able to stand firm against the schemes, sometimes it's translated wiles. But I didn't know until I looked the Greek word up. These are not just wily devices of the enemy. The word means systematic, ordered, wily devices. All worked out. All devised and all planned. So that, see, if you are not in the plan of God, if you are not in the body of Christ, if you are not anointed in the Spirit of God, He's too well organized for you as an individual. I don't care how disciplined you are as an individual. You've got to be brought into the inner workings of God's kingdom, in the inner workings of the Spirit, and what the Spirit is speaking. For our struggle, I like the King James, for we wrestle not. Now, wrestling is the best illustration of this kind of combat. Because wrestling is one-on-one. And you're going to wrestle. Now, you need other people to join with you, but you're going to be wrestling yourself many times. And it's hand-to-hand combat. Wrestling, I mean, it's physical contact, continual physical contact. It's close hand to hand. It's one on one. It's incessant. So someone throws the other or pins the other. So this word is indicating what kind of struggle we're in. And it's not against flesh and blood. See, you think this ornery person who is terrible, he lies about you and maybe he's cheated you, and maybe he has spoken against you and misused you, or this person, or this person, or this person. Who you're really struggling is Satan in them. Right. Satan working in them. Demonic spirits, ground-level spirits, occult-level spirits, person-level spirits, working in them. And you shouldn't be angry at them, you should be angry at the devil. And you've got to understand. You see, we're constantly letting emotions get a hold of us when we shouldn't, because when we let emotional things, only God's emotions work in spiritual warfare. His love, His joy, His peace, His patience, His goodness, His gentleness, His meekness, His faithfulness, His self-control. That's the only thing, the only emotions that'll work in spiritual warfare. Because you let your own human emotions take hold, anger, bitterness, resentment, jealousy, envy, whatever it is, fear. And you can't war spiritually. That's why you need to walk in the Spirit. Learn to walk in the Spirit. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, here's the words now. Let's take them one at a time. Against rulers. Against the rulers. Now, what is this Greek word? This is the word archon, which, by the way, in ancient Greece, in the Athenian government, in the democracy of Athens, there were 9 archons. They were principal rulers in ancient Greece. And so, they are principal rulers in the spirit realm. See, now, You have to understand these words are referring to spirit powers. They are not referring to people. The meaning of the words themselves. They refer to spiritual powers. Now, what are these? These are the five-star generals. These are the principalities. Now, another term there you could use is principalities. They're the principal rulers. They're the chief rulers. Directly underneath Satan. And although, and let me say, God has revealed a lot here to me, but I don't have every detail from the Lord. There's only way you couldn't have every detail unless you got it from the Lord. You wouldn't know. I mean, you could look up the Greek words, but you still wouldn't know. And so what I'm telling you tonight is what God has revealed to me so far. And he was revealing to me some more things today. In fact, he revealed to me today, I'm going to teach later on religious spirits. And he said to me today, as I prayed, he said, son, at this cosmic level, I'm calling this the cosmic level, this the principal rulers, directly under Satan. We'll be looking, if I have time at the end of our teaching, at some passages in the scripture. I'm first wanting to define all these levels. But we'll be looking at the end of the time at some scriptures which tell about where are some scriptural examples of these cosmic level spirits. And we will come to them. But he told me that the religious spirits that I will teach on later, that the religious spirits operate at both the cosmic level and the occult level. They operate all over the world, in other words. And these rulers are the five-star generals that rule over the major nations and major empires. Let's say like the old Babylonian kingdom, spirit of Babylon. Egypt, Medo-Persia, Assyria, Greece, Rome, the five that were, the one that is Rome, and then the coming Antichrist kingdom. I believe over all world governments, like the United Nations. There is a cosmic level demonic spirit. See, the United Nations is of the world. It's of the world system. That's why God, you see, this notion that there'll be some world government is directly of Satan. Sure it is. People think that the United Nations or something like it will bring world peace. No, that's false peace. Isaiah prophesied, they cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They cannot bring peace because they're trying to bring it through the authority political structure, and we'll see in a minute at this next level, that the political structure always uses force and power of men. And we in God only use the force and power of God through the Holy Spirit. We must not depend on anything that is man's power. Because man's power depends on the use of force. And God, although he has tremendous force, never forces his people into his kingdom, but opens willingly free choice to enter the kingdom and to enter the baptism of the Spirit and to enter and surrender themselves freely. So everything God does is done as we willingly, openly, freely give ourselves and other people's, we give ourselves. See, Satan uses force. And people who follow Satan and his kingdom use force. But God doesn't. So there is the cosmic level, the rulers, the principalities. How far that goes down, I'm not sure. But I do know that it is over the major nations. I will give you an example here later in Tyre, in Babylon. These were cosmic level spirits, directly. I'll show you it was directly related to Satan. And we need to learn how to come up against them, and I hope that I will end on that note before we're through. Now, the next word is against the powers, or really the better translation there is against the authorities. Exousia in the Greek. Exousia is delegated power. It's power delegated down. Now, Satan has the ultimate power over this dark kingdom and over this world. The cosmic kings and emperors that are directly related and one with Satan have the greatest power under Satan. These are spirit beings now. These are spirit beings. These are not men. These are spirit beings. Then, underneath that, there are spirit beings that are authorities, and you have two aspects of these authorities. Let me read this phrase. Well, let me talk about the authorities here. These are subordinate generals. These are also high level, and they are assigned, and I assume here, although the Lord didn't show me, but assigned, I think, to smaller nations, at least to smaller territorial units, some large cities, like Diana of the Ephesians. The whole city of Ephesus was under her spell. And so there were authorities directly under, assigned to political entities that may be small nations, they may be states, they may be regions. Listen, every single organization of man is penetrated by Satan. Let me say that again. Every single organization of man is penetrated by Satan and these authorities. Then, there's a second aspect to this, and at first I thought it was two separate things here, but the Lord showed me as I prayed, He said, "But son, these are two aspects of this occult level. Two aspects of this occult level." And here is what the next words say. "And spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, the Greek words here, actually in the King James, well, let me read, against the world forces. Now, world, what's that? That's the Greek word cosmos. World forces, cosmos. Krator, kratos, means to seize by force. To seize by force. So, these are spirit powers. First, they are authorities underneath Satan, but then they operate in the world and in nations, in regions, in states, in cities, in tribes, in territories, in churches. In churches. In extended families. In the generations of extended families that have certain characteristics, they operate. In fact, the Lord said to me today, He said they operate at every organizational business, corporations, especially world corporations. I have been reading some material in the last couple of years. It's amazing what a lot of companies and corporations are nothing but fronts. Drug running, for prostitution, for all kinds of things. I mean, it's spreading. So, the key here is, they're of the world, and remember, cosmos means a system and an order of things in rebellion against God, in rebellion against His Word. So by definition, these world forces, these cosmos crator, seized by power and force, and they begin to manipulate, and their purpose is to manipulate men who think they have power. Now, how do they draw men? Because they give their dark power to men, and they are able to enrich themselves. And so they get money and power, and they are willing to sell themselves out for money and power to these world forces that penetrate. So these authorities and these world forces of darkness, this is the dark kingdom of Satan. They bring darkness, they bring death, they bring separation. That's what death is, separation from God. And they operate at every level, and they rule over these units from regions, start with the nations, with the occult or cosmic level, then down to the smaller nations, down to states within regions, down to cities, down to territories, down into Jessamine County. You name the county, you name you name the political unit. All politics, all political organization is penetrated by these forces. I have a lawyer friend in Lexington who tells me he knows a lot about Lexington government, and what he tells me about it, I say, really? I can't believe that. I can't believe. And I have read several. I have read A Bluegrass Conspiracy about the government of Kentucky. I've read a book that has to do with the government of Kansas, I believe it is. Eric's from Kansas. All over the states, the system, evil, has penetrated, capturing people. Why do they come into it? Because they can be enriched and they can gain power. Politics is about power. Why do you think we've had such centralization of government in America and keep getting more centralization and more centralization? Because it puts power in the hands. I mean, senators today are very powerful. Presidents are very powerful. They didn't used to be. Because everything used to be decentralized down to the local level. So all of this is penetrated by the enemy to manipulate human beings, to manipulate political leaders. Unless a political leader, listen now, unless a business leader, unless a political leader, unless a leader of a church is sold out to Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, led by the Holy Spirit of God, having the life of God in them, flowing from them, they will be controlled by these forces.
Absolutely.
I don't care how good intentioned they may be in the beginning. I didn't realize this, but I realize it now. Now, the last part of this is spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places or high places. Now, these are divided into two of the last two levels, the ground level and the personal level. See, all of these are principalities and powers of the air. The demonic forces are principalities and powers of the air. And so they operate unseen at the cosmic level over nations. Then the authorities world forces of darkness, they operate at the local level and the regional level, but you can't see that. Now, these world forces, this last here, spiritual forces of wickedness in high places, you can see the results because these are the two levels that operate in individuals' lives. These two levels operate directly in individual lives. I'm more familiar with this warfare. I've prayed at these two levels for a long time. And I'll be teaching individually on these things later. But let me say a little bit more about this. Spiritual forces or hosts. Spiritual hosts. This means myriad and myriad. These are the enlisted men of the army, of Satan's army. These are the hosts, the hordes of the privates and corporals and sergeants. Their task is to attack individuals' lives. Demons love to inhabit people. They don't have bodies, and so they love to inhabit people. If they can't inhabit people, they'll inhabit animals, like this story in the scripture, where a man was delivered, and then the demons went into the pigs, and then they all ran down and drowned in the sea. Demons don't have bodies, and so they want to inhabit bodies. But I want you to look at one verse in 2 Corinthians, and then I'll come back here. One verse in 2 Corinthians, because chapter 10, verse 5. We are destroying speculations. Now, imaginations. Imaginations. Listen, I'll teach a whole unit on this later. But at the personal level, it's this little thing between It's this little thing, this brain up here, our mind. Every single human being is in warfare there. You can't avoid it. Your thought life, speculations, imaginations. I mean, do you ever get bizarre, evil imaginations? Man, I mean, sometimes something comes into my mind and I think, what in the world? Where did that come? Then I know, oh yeah, it's Satan. We are destroying those speculations. You've got to destroy them continually. I'm going to go talk about this in detail later. And every high thing raised against the knowledge of God. Now, listen. I didn't realize this. This word high is a reference to astrological or cosmic level. Now we go back up to the cosmic level. And there are ideas that come from these head demonic powers, and ideas that try, the purpose of those ideas, and for you on the earth to accept them, the purpose of those ideas is to separate you from God. It's to separate you from having a relationship with God. God's purpose with you is to have a relationship with Him. And so, these are, and this is also astrological ideas. These are ideas that penetrated the ancient world, the planets and the stars and all of the teaching of that teaching, that they control, the planets control us. All of these ideas, and you know, some of the ideas, some of the things that Marx taught, some of the things that Hegel taught, I think came directly from Satan. Directly from Satan. Satan loves ideas. He loves intellectuals. Because intellectuals are suckers for ideas. And Satan loves that because when you make your mind king, Satan is bound to have access. He has right. He has access to send ideas that you act on to put you up into a position of authority and power. Now, the ground level, the only difference between the ground level and the personal level is that the ground level, and these are the demonic powers that are sent down, the hordes that are sent down of demonic forces, to try to penetrate inside human beings. And ground level means, and we'll cover this later, it means that a demonic power comes inside you. Now, Satan is very limited there because a demon can't come within any person unless they give ground by sinning and opening their lives.
That's right, too.
I see you're not going to have people demonized who haven't sinned. Usually they continue to sin, and they open their lives.
Absolutely.
Of course, the people who worship Satan and who worship astrology and so forth, they open their lives totally. Mm-hmm. That ground level, in other words, is a level where Satan, they come down and they can penetrate inside. The personal level is where everyone, that I said before, but let me explain it a little further. The personal level, we'll talk about each one of these individually more in detail. The personal level is the level of attack against every single person, against your mind. Mm-hmm. And the purpose of that attack is to get you into bondage, to get you to thinking that you are who Satan says you are or who people say you are rather than who God says you are. You know, most people believe the lies of the enemy about who they are. I'm rejected. Not by God. Not by God. You name any negative emotion. It doesn't come from God. I'm fearful. Well, God didn't make you fearful except all being all of Him. Every bondage, as I said in one of my teachings recently, every bondage comes from a lie of the enemy about who you are. So you're in this, we'll talk about this level later in a teaching. Now I want to go to some examples So here are the levels then. The cosmic level, the occult level. These are the powers that are over nations, over states, over cities, over every organization. They use force. They get control of people because the people want power and the people want money. And so they open their lives to take, to accept. They think they are building themselves up into being billionaires and millionaires and so forth. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, because you're a millionaire that you're not in Christ, but not many millionaires, I think, are. Because you have got to be giving most of that away if you're in Christ, and it must not control you. But then these last two levels, people who open themselves, there's demonic power comes in, but all of us struggled at the personal level. Now, let me give you, in closing, four scriptures that have to do with an example of cosmic level. Let's go back to Revelation 17. Let's go back to Revelation 17 and verse 1. One of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and spoke to me, saying, "Come here, and I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Now, the great harlot is the harlot religious system, the false religious system that dominates Babylon. See, the key to Babylon, the key to the Babylonian system that we've been looking at for these last weeks, is the harlot religious system, the false religious system. It's a religious system. Remember now. Satan's kingdom is based on a false religious system. Satan loves religion.
Yeah, he does.
His whole kingdom is built on false religion. Satanism itself is a false religion. "With whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality. They sold themselves over to it. Those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast." So the woman, the false religious system, is sitting on the Antichrist. "Full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and 10 horns. There's that 7 and 10. 10 nations. 3 are not, later, not a part of it. "And the woman was clothed with purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones, and the pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations of the unclean things of her immorality. And upon her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon, the mother of harlots and the abomination of the earth." And that's what I said earlier. Satan marries this false church. "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses and of Jesus, and I saw her and I wondered." In other words, the persecution. I think I mentioned, I'm not sure that I did in the Saturday night teaching, but I mentioned it to all my classes, I think, recently listening to Art Katz, a Messianic Jew, who, in brief, he said, there's coming a Holocaust of the Jewish people, greater than the Nazi Holocaust. He says he estimates 10 million Jews will be killed. Many Christians will be killed. He says the purpose of God allowing it, and God will allow it, is so that the Jews can be judged for their arrogance and their pride. They're his people, but they're arrogant and prideful. Because they've been the most gifted people. And out of that, he will bring a priest class that will lead the world revival. And he will bring out of the body of Christ those who follow and become a part of the army of God. And there will be the greatest revival in world history. Then in Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28, you have two verses. I'm not going to use very many verses here in these chapters, but Ezekiel chapter 28 and verses 12 and 13. Now this shows, 12 and 13, what it shows is this cosmic level assigned to nations, assigned to the major nations. Now, when I read about Tyre, you need to understand that the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar conquered Tyre. So this was a part of the Babylonian Empire, and then Tyre was a separate kingdom. So in verse 12 of Ezekiel 28, "For the Son of Man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says Lord God." Now, notice this. Speaking to the king of Tyre, this is a demon spirit, cosmic level spirit over Tyre and over Babylon. But notice the very next word, he's speaking to Satan. Lucifer, who fell. Why? Because the cosmic level is directly one with Satan. Every demon spirit over the nations, cosmic level, are one with Satan. It's like the Antichrist is one with Satan. Do you see what I mean? There is a oneness here. There is a direct relationship. Otherwise, God wouldn't suddenly... I used to wonder, why is he say king of Tyre and then suddenly he's talking about Satan? Because he says, listen, you had the seal of perfection, full of beauty, wisdom. You were in the Garden of Eden, of God. Every precious stone was your covering. On the day you were created, I skipped down there. And then later it talks about, I cast you as profane out of the mountain of God. Lucifer was over the throne of God. He had to be cast out. So, this shows us that these cosmic level spirits are directly related, directly controlled, one as it were, with Satan himself. Then another example, Isaiah 14, of the same thing, Isaiah 14. And just a couple of verses here, three verses. Isaiah 14. And verse 4. Take up this taunt against the king of Babylon. Now here again, if you read this whole passage, I won't read it all. He's talking about the king of Babylon, which is a demon spirit over Babylon, directly related to Satan, and then suddenly he's talking about Satan. So you see all these cosmic level spirits, Tyre, Babylon, Persia, Greece. We'll get to Daniel in a minute, Persia, Greece. Cosmic level spirits, directly united with Satan. Verse 4 then, how the oppressor has ceased, how the fury has ceased. Now listen now, verse 5 is very important. This is the victory, this is the victory. Even over these cosmic level spirits, people, their victory has been won. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked. The Lord has broken the sword of authority of the cosmic level spirits. Don't worry. Right at the top. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of rulers. This scepter was, and by the way, the Greek word is archon is there. The same word as in Ephesians. Those principalities, those principal powers. He's broken the authority of the principal powers by Jesus. He's our head. We're the body. And we'll be raised up. Now, you have to watch here. Again, we can't individually break these powers. But when the church is purified and made one, as united together, under the anointing of the Spirit of God, one, loving each other, laying our lives down for one another, no more divisions, no more jealousies. All of the people who will not go with him and be purified and cleansed and take the cross will fall away and become apostates. There'll be no halfway Christians. Can't be. This body is going to be totally purified, totally anointed, because it's the only way we can take authority as one, laying our lives down for one another under the anointing of God. The only way that we, with Jesus as our head, can break the authority and power of these cosmic level spirits. Hallelujah. Which were used. Now, if you're not under this, listen what happens. When you're not under this, which were used to strike the people in fury with unceasing strokes, subdued nations in anger and unrestrained persecution. You people don't study as much history as I have, most of you anyway. I mean, when you study the history of ancient Babylon, ancient Greece, and ancient Rome, you study history. I mean, you study Russian history that I teach. I mean, it is oppression, persecution, suffering, persecution, death, destruction, death. You can't imagine. The only reason our nation has not had been full of this is because it was led by God and people who love God and built based on God's law and God's kingdom. But we are going to see destruction and death come to America because unless we repent, because we are coming in to accept the same things of the Babylonian system that these other kingdoms accepted. Exactly. Whew, praise God. Now, the last place, Daniel 10. Daniel 10. And verse 10. Now here's a man of God. Here's a prophet of God. Here's a man full of the Holy Spirit. Here's a man that is close to God. Here's the man that seeks God, hears God, praise. He's a great man of prayer. We can't talk about all of Daniel's life, but we read verse 10. Then behold, a hand touched me and sent me trembling on my hands and knees. This is the angel Gabriel. This is where, see, God promises there's going to be a greater angelic presence, more and more and more. And to break these cosmic level spirits, we have got to be united. We have got to take the cross. We have got to lay our lives down for each other. We have got to be purified individually and as a body. And then we have got to join our faith with the angelic holy forces, because God is going to send his angelic holy forces on the earth as never before. And he sent them here to Daniel because Daniel got this tremendous vision of the future, this tremendous vision of what would happen in the book of Revelation. He got the same kind of vision that John got in the book of Revelation. They got it at many different centuries apart, but they got this same vision. And he said to me, this is Gabriel speaking to Daniel, "Oh, Daniel, man of high esteem, highly esteemed by God, a man of faith, a man of prayer. Understand the words that I'm about to tell you. Stand upright, for I have been now sent to you." And when he had spoken the word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," here's another cosmic level spirit over the kingdom of Persia. See these cosmic level spirits are going to come up against, with everything they have, Satan's, all of Satan's power. They're going to come up at every level of warfare. And if you are not in Christ, if you are not in Christ, in the Spirit of God, you will fall away. There is no two ways about it. You will fall away unless you are in Christ and in the Spirit. And he was withholding me 21 days. Then behold, Michael, the cherubim at the right hand of God, the battle angel, who is the lead. And he, by the way, he's the chief archon. He's the highest archon. He's higher. The only part of the demon kingdom that had a place like this was Lucifer. Satan, who became Satan. And then he was kicked out of heaven. But see, Archangel Gabriel, right hand of God. Archangel Michael, left hand of God. The highest, chief, authority over all of these, came to help me. Hallelujah! For I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Praise God. Verse 20. Then he said to me, "Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. And I'm going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. This cosmic level spirit, and that cosmic level spirit, this cosmic level spirit of this nation, of this nation, of this nation. All the nations are going to give themselves to Satan, and all of them will attempt to come. But praise God. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. There is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces, except Michael, your prince." Now, I'm not going to take time to take you to Ezekiel, but I want to tell you in Ezekiel 10. In Ezekiel 10, it's the wheels and the wheels inside the wheels. And it's the symbol of the true church, the purified church. And the wheels are obedient to God. And they are listening to what the voice of the Holy Spirit says. This is how we will defeat these cosmic level spirits. We will become absolutely obedient only to the Word of God, only to what the Spirit says. And when the Spirit speaks, we will hear. And all of the members of this church will hear. And they will not be distracted. They will not look to the side. They will seek and they will see. And the Holy Spirit will come and the cherubim will give a message. And the Holy Spirit will take that message and he will speak it to us. And we will go as the Holy Spirit says go. And we will go as the Holy Spirit says go. And we will go as the Holy Spirit says go. And we will go as the Holy Spirit says go. The church on the move, on the move, on the move, on the move, on the move. With the power of God. With the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the anointing is coming off the organized church. And it's coming on the cherubim. The anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, the sevenfold Spirit of God, people, the sevenfold Spirit of God, the final completion of the Holy Spirit of God is coming on the church, the purified church. Not a building, not a denomination. People sold out to Jesus, sold out to the Word of God, sold out, purified, the whole body purified, and unified with the angelic forces. These cosmic level spirits will be torn down. Hallelujah. And will be defeated. So, don't worry about them. They're powerful. But they are nothing compared to the power of God. And he wants us. Don't fear. Don't fear. Don't fear. There are four levels. Cosmic level, occult level, ground level, personal level. We'll talk about the other three in several teachings. Probably won't get to cover all three in another teaching. But God wants us to understand. I hope you've understood. You may not. You may have to get a CD to remember some of it. But God wants us to understand this. Praise God. Mm-hmm.